it's cheaper than therapy.
Okay.
It's gonna tell you what you already know.
I'm sitting here thinking like my world's about ready to explode. What's up, everyone? Welcome back. This is Zero Day Since. This is a podcast where two founders journal their story of building a wooden purse brand and have fun doing it. My name's Jason, and I'm a lumberjack today.
And I'm Chelsea, and I am a witch.
Very cool. Well, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah. So, what's...
This is Voldemort's wand.
I know, right?
Isn't that exciting?
We don't say his name.
I'm a villain girly, so... I'll say his name all I want.
I'm going to put this thing down.
Yeah. Have you heard of Dramini?
Dramini?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Well, and that's it?
Well.
Just sorry about your life.
It's a little embarrassing, but I don't even care. because I always will pick the villain. It's Draco Malfoy and Hermione fan fiction. Uh-huh. So people will write love stories between Draco and Hermione.
Interesting.
I'm a big fan of those.
I do know those two, but I don't know about that one. So.
Yeah. So very cool. I got Voldemort's wand, but I think Draco's might be next time I go to Universal Studios.
I should have bought that for you when I went.
Oh, that would have been great.
Well, we weren't good enough friends, I guess, at that point.
Let you take my wand. What do you mean?
Yeah. And they worked. They worked. Both of them did. All right.
I trusted you.
Yeah.
They came back in one piece.
And they did. Drink sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
Okay. Yeah. So we have a new sponsor. Well, so the featured drink this week is a little bit different. So let's first talk about the last episode. I feel like that one got a little squirrely on us, right?
Yeah, we drank a lot.
Yeah. Drew. We had a blast. Billy, thank you for providing the liquor.
It was honestly so fun and every single drink was delicious. I did not expect six of them.
Yeah. That
in an hour.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
If you haven't seen that episode, you guys are going to need to go back and
that one's wild.
Watch that one, yeah. So so we thought, why not go back to our roots?
Yeah, we're going to settle down.
To whiskey.
Yeah.
And so we actually have my woodworking company that's actually going to provide this. So if you want to go ahead and pull it out, we are going to use our fun Del Bock. Yeah. So go ahead and pour that. And then I'll talk about the drink smoker.
This episode I might be doing this a little prematurely, but I think it's ironic. This episode is called 0 Days Since Chelsea Needed a Chaperone. And you're about to have me do this.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's like the whole shtick that we end up doing. Nice. Well, as you're kind of pulling that thing up, one thing that I was going to share is that Sport Class Customs, that's my woodworking company. It's a lifetime hobby turned business. And then during COVID, the workshop, it was used as a classroom to teach woodworking to my boys. They were 11 and 14 at the time. But little did we know that it was going to turn into a business specializing in customized products. So, question I get a lot is, what can you build? Well, guess what? That's the wrong question. So with the tooling and software that we have, we can build almost anything 4 foot and smaller. But our niche is working with clients on making the perfect gift. Maybe it's for a traditional wood fifth wedding anniversary, or for someone retiring, or a closing gift to show appreciation. But whatever the occasion, we can make it special. So one of the ones that we do is a drink smoker. So we've got the little drink smoker and then a little can of wood chips here. So
can I tell you something about this smoker?
Yeah.
So back when we were both inside proper and it was, you had a couple guys like working your sport class booth for you. And but sometimes they weren't able to come. So there would be times when like I was kind of like working your booth a little bit. This was my favorite thing to do.
Was it?
I got so giddy. When I got to like showcase the smoker. Nice. Probably because I always had a glass of whiskey in my hand and I was like, I'm ready. Nice. Let's do it.
Very cool. Yep. So Chelsea does this thing. But so we've got these little smokers. You put them on top of the cup and then you get a butane lighter. And then when you go to light it, what it does is it actually forces the smoke down into the cup itself. And then you just take the lid, put it right there on top. And then I usually tell people that, the longer you let it sit, the more intense the flavor.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
And you have a couple different shaving scents. What do you call them? Flavors?
Yeah, or just like wood chips.
Yeah.
Yep.
You have a couple different ones, don't you?
We do. So this is going to be a little bit of this is going to be a combination of some walnut and some mesquite. Mm. So there you go. And then I usually let it go.
Yeah, buddy.
And then I thought also with the theme of being Halloween, we have some smoke here. So.
Now imagine in my cauldron.
That's all right. So fun. Once we get this thing settled, you'll have to tell this story about the cauldron thing. Because
it's okay. I'm really not trying to give you a hard time. I feel like I never get the opportunity to.
Oh my God. And I felt so bad too.
Is this going to set off a smoke alarm?
Well, we're crossing our fingers that it doesn't. So. So we'll see. This podcast might.
It didn't close all the way.
Cut short. Usually we don't do this with like a mic in our face.
I know.
All right.
Ready? This was always a hit at proper.
Right? Whatever. Look at that. Happy Halloween. Delicious. Cheers.
Happy Halloween. And this is the... Oh, that's yummy.
So this is the Del Bosque. It's so fruity. This is their distiller cut.
Yeah.
But it's the summer 2025 bottle. Oh. Yeah, so we love Del Bosque too. So now we're just adding a little extra smoke to it.
Yeah. Delish. So, okay, I'm a witch. And I had this little cup that was a cauldron. And it was so cute. And I was going to drink my whiskey out of the cauldron. And I was so excited to smoke the whiskey. And it was going to come out of the cauldron. And it would have been all witchy. And darling Jason over here dropped it.
Okay. So you're inside proper. Crisis. I go out to the car. This was literally an hour ago.
Normally, I'm the clumsy one.
So I collect a bunch of stuff, and I'm walking out into the garage, and
Your hands were pretty full.
And the attendant was doing something. Bless the heart. I mean, he's keeping us safe.
He's just doing his job.
Yeah, and he sees me coming. So he steps into the doorway, which I stepped into. Then he makes a sharp left.
Yeah.
So I'm like stalled. My axe hits the door jamb. Hits the box, drops, and the cauldron breaks.
The cauldron breaks.
Glasses, fine. Cauldron. Yeah,
the whiskey glasses were A-okay.
And so Chelsea's like, well, can we glue it back together? And I'm like, give her like a whole box of like literal, 500 pieces. Yeah, I'm like, pieces. Bro, no. It's done. It's so sad. And she's like, well, I'm bringing this up in the podcast.
It's a good thing I have like six witchy cups.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Between like witches and mermaids, it's my favorite like coffee cup theme. Do you have like, okay, because you drink coffee. So do you have like this thing where like my coffee cup determines my mood for the day?
But yeah, I certainly am like, whatever I'm feeling, I'm grabbing that cup.
Yeah, like I have a cup that has Marie from the Aristocats on it. And it says, because I'm a lady, that's why. And when I'm feeling extra sassy, I like to use that one specifically. Like when I'm feeling a little more mellow, I've got one that says reasons to be a mermaid. My friend Jessie got it for me like years and years ago. I still have it. And it's like five reasons to be a mermaid. And it's like, you don't have to wear pants, the free clam bra. Totally, like,
I bet you that's totally a thing, you know, because like for me,
literally sets my mood.
Yeah. And I like to buy a coffee cup when we're like visiting places.
Yeah.
So I bought one for like Hogswart when we went, and I bought one for like Star Wars Batuu when we went. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so I'll grab those things and it reminds me.
Oh yeah, like the Disneyland.
Yeah, as opposed to just coffee cups. So I wonder, you know.
I love coffee cups.
Whoever's watching, like make some comments. Like, you know, is there a coffee cup that
you... What's your favorite coffee cup? Also, I have... like Scarlett makes fun of me all the time because I have so many coffee cups and I literally use like four.
The other ones just kind of get pushed into the back.
They just sit. That's funny. But they're not the right ones. I don't know. I don't even know why I have them. But I also refuse to give them up. I have one that I only use in the month of December, but it stays in the cupboard all year long. And it's got the kid from A Christmas Story in the bunny suit.
Oh yeah.
it's pink like the bunny suit, and it's like hand thrown like clay mug. It's from I can't remember the brand, but their marketing is all skeletons, and it's delicious coffee. Mm. And they do limited edition hand thrown mugs, and this one was for their Christmas coffee, which was the kid from A Christmas Story in the bunny suit. But it's a skeleton in the bunny suit. It's so cute. I love that one, but I only use it in the month of December.
All right, what's the name of the episode?
Okay, this episode is called 0 Days Since Chelsea Needed a Chaperone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loud knows we both needed a chaperone last episode.
Yeah, totally. But specifically, we're going to be talking about some decision making.
Yes. Yeah. And we've touched on this before that I have a really hard time making decisions, especially when those decisions are meant like putting me in a position of having to please other people. Yeah. I have a really hard time doing that. And I get decision fatigued so fast. But I feel like I'm in charge of a lot of things. And sometimes I just get a little overwhelmed and like, I have a really hard time making decisions by myself. And sometimes I need a person to like kind of talk it through. I'll get there. You just gotta let me yap about it first.
You know, I can appreciate that though. You know, you brought up that I play music, right? So I'm in the band at our orchestra at our church. One of the things that I love about it is that I'm in charge of so much.
Right.
In my life, that is one of the spots where I've now, like, fortunately I don't have to practice,
right.
But I can just go there. I don't have to choose the music. Yeah. I'm not the director. Yeah. I just sit down and I just get to play. And so it's like, there's no decisions I have to make. So at some point, sometimes it's nice to not have to.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. If I could not have to make any decision ever again for the rest of my life, except for when it comes to my kid, like,
yeah, wow. And now you team up with me and I force you to make decisions.
Well, but there's also a dynamic where like I can almost relax a little bit with you because like you'll do it if it comes down to it. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm putting a little too much pressure on you, but.
Oh, good. That's an invitation to like.
No, it's not. Okay. I do have a quote though.
Every time.
I think I've done that every episode.
Every episode. There goes the mic.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I've been finding these cute little like entrepreneurial quotes that have been popping up on my Instagram feed, and I've been saving them whenever I find one that I like a lot. And I felt like this one kind of fit this theme this week or this month. This is at Azen Sate. Azen underscore Sate. I want to credit the person who posted it. No one gets to the top alone. Behind every success story is a web of unseen hands. People who opened doors, offer advice, and believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself. It's tempting to romanticize the lone hero. The idea that grit and discipline are enough. The truth is, every success is a mosaic of invisible contributions, a teacher who planted the first seed of possibility, a friend who made an introduction that changed everything, a stranger who gave you a chance when they didn't have to. We are shaped by the communities we're a part of, opportunities we're given, and generosity of others. And when you understand that, gratitude replaces arrogance, humility replaces entitlement, and self-made transforms into community-made. And that is originally by Simon Alexander O.
Yeah.
So I liked that a lot because I think that in entrepreneurship, even if you're in a partnership or, you know, anything like that, it's so easy to take on so much by yourself and forget that help is available.
Yeah.
And people forget to utilize their environment. It's very easy to do. And I think
maybe even like just use it and then not really be present to know the help that is coming their
way. Yeah. Or even blind to opportunities that are presenting themselves.
Sure.
And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs have this in common, a very independent personality, almost like a hyper-independent element to their personality. And asking for help is very difficult. So in that, like, it kind of brings up what happened that, like, this episode is about. Of, like, I went to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I was on two missions. The first mission was I was looking for fabric for my best friend's wedding dress. And the second mission was I was looking for some materials for Timber Toe.
Sure.
Right?
I told you, I was like, don't come back with empty handed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I was so stressed. I didn't want you to feel like, financially speaking, think about it. I was like, no, I need you to find something, bring it back.
Yeah. Perfect. And it didn't matter what it was.
So you're gone.
But I had a mission. I was looking for a new source for straps.
Yeah.
Because that as far as sourcing goes, it's been our biggest bottleneck when it comes to production of and manufacturing of these purses. And I did not expect it to be so hard.
Yeah.
And
but I remember you telling me when you're getting ready on this trip, is you were like, this is like the hub where I'm going to find stuff. Like, so you were fired up about, I am sick of like being the bottleneck. Yeah. I'm going to go here.
I'm going to find the place.
There's like a whole like alleyway or there's like a whole avenue. And I was like, psyched for you.
I haven't been to the fashion district since before COVID. So I don't know if COVID changed it or what has happened. But it was so different than what I was expecting from when I lived there and went to school there.
Yeah.
And so, cause I was right down the street from this, I was in this district every single day. And, I knew this district like the back of my hand. Mm-hmm. And, like I thought I knew exactly where to go and the places are still there, but they didn't have anywhere near what I was looking for, what I thought I was going to be able to find there. And then on top of that, the prices of it are just so different than what they used to be. And I know that it's been, you know, inflation but and still. It's been, but I was like, this is not like I'm expecting wholesale. And, there was one guy who I went in, and I found this gorgeous fabric for Christine's wedding dress. And it was honestly perfect. And the amount he was charging, I was like, okay, that's out of budget. Like I need like 10 to 15 yards of this. I'm not paying that. And he looked at me and he's like, are you Armenian? And I was like, yes.
and I where are we like, going with this?
But I was like, this could go two different directions. And he goes, oh, okay. And he's like telling me all about like his yearly trip to like Armenia. I can't remember the name of the city he said he goes to, but he goes there all the time. He was not Armenian. He was Lebanese. But he goes to Armenia often.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, have you ever been? And I was like, unfortunately, no. Plus the area that I would want to go is technically now Turkey. So I don't know if I would ever go to Armenia. I'd probably go to Turkey just to visit where my family comes from. Not the point, but we had a whole conversation about my heritage being from Armenia and all of that kind of stuff. And he goes, okay, for you, I'll give you this price. And it was like $5 less. And I was like, thank you, but
per
still
yard?
No. Yeah.
Is that a lot?
It wasn't enough.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I get that.
I was like,
tying this story into this. So I'm in the workshop working.
Yes.
And you call me.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
and I'm like stressed.
And I know I know you're in LA.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm psyched. So you call me and I'm like, oh, this has got to be some great news. Yeah. Right. And you are.
I was stressed.
Here's the thing.
Literally, I could not make a choice.
And like, I'm down here. Well, this isn't what I thought.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm talking to these people and things are more than what I thought.
Yeah. And like, so I mean, I had a specific, like I had a budget I was trying to stay within for the wedding dress, which was its own thing. Right. Yeah. But for Timbertoe, I mean, you basically were like, spend whatever you need to spend, just come back with something.
Yeah.
So the problem was, what I was specifically looking for Timbertoe, I was not finding. And that was incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, so like the prices were higher than I remember them ever being.
Which sucked.
Which
I mean, that'll take the
was
wind
unfortunate.
Out of your
sales. Yeah. And then because as a retailer myself, what's hard to deal with when I'm buying is when coming to terms with the fact that I can get it cheaper online than going straight to the source and going in person. That sucked to have to learn.
Yeah.
That was really, and that was frustrating because as a boutique owner and a retailer, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear, oh, I can go online and get it.
I know. Right?
Like, I don't want, I want you to buy
that's
it for
like
me
the,
because I took the time,
like
I specifically chose this for my customers to come in and buy. So I didn't want to have to come to that conclusion, but then I did because that's just the reality of it. And I have to separate my mind from this business as a retailer and this business as like I'm sourcing the material to create the product and having to make those decisions. And so what happened was I was disappointed by what I found. And then I had 2 full days in the fashion district. Should have been a dream come true. I just ended up frustrated. And then on top of that, it was so much more congested and crowded than I remember it being. And it was like almost to the point of like heckling. Like these people are standing outside of their store and grabbing you and saying, hey, come in, I'll give you a good deal. And it's not a good deal.
Yeah. Like but if you think about it, like you went in there with a different mindset, a goal, you know, and now all of a sudden it's different. Like all of a sudden it's different. and it's not what you had in mind, and now you're getting heckled and people are pulling on you. And so like you come and you were like, next time I come here, I need a chaperone because
I was like, I need another person to keep me focused and like keep
because
me,
I'm
like,
going in there fresh perspective and I'm like seeing, I'm not trying to compare it. So I can be like, oh
yeah,
let's stay away from here. Or well, something like, I'm hearing this, I'm hearing that. Or
it's also somebody to kind of process things with, because when it wasn't crowded with people. The people wasn't overwhelming. It was the stuff. And it's pouring out of these stores, coming out on the sidewalk to where you are surrounded by it, to where only one person at a time can walk down the sidewalk because there's stuff on either side and it's pouring out. And then they're talking to you and they're yelling at you. And then there's like, there's just a lot going on. It's very stimulating.
Yeah.
And it's easy to become overstimulated.
100%. Especially, and then once you get to that point, it's like paralysis.
There's zero productivity.
And then you're like, I don't even know what to do.
Versus if I'm yanked
in all sorts of different directions.
My whole thing was like, I need a chaperone because I need another person with me to kind of like help me to process that with.
100%.
Even if it's out loud. You know what I mean? Like, even if all I have to say over and over again is,
with me.
Holy crap, there's a lot of stuff. Like,
that's, and even though it was a call, but I was just kind of like, okay, you know, like, what's the mission? Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
That sucks. Like, you know, just confirming some things that you were thinking.
Well, and then you did put it into perspective for me because you were like, okay, well, even if like all you've done at this point is just confirm that what we're doing right now is the correct choice. Like, we are doing the thing that's the best for the business right now. Is what we're already doing. So we don't necessarily need to change that. So like, why don't fix what's not broken? Didn't
come home with any new strap likes.
Because the thing, okay, here's the
you
thing.
Know, thing is, at least now when you come back, what we are doing is still
the best. And I did find some sources. Like, I did find it. Yeah. It was 3 times as much money.
That's
which was counterproductive to what we're trying to do.
Other than if you take the perspective of, that's good because now we know that what we're doing is the most efficient.
Right. Yes. So, but I did not come home empty-handed. That I found those really cute acrylic chains that you don't love, but I love, and they're so fun.
Don't take that, you know, because I'm the process guy.
I know.
On the technical
side.
I know.
There were like,
I'm not the designer.
Diana up in Mount Lemon really liked them a lot. So.
Yeah.
Totally. And we're going to show them to Season Women tomorrow. So we'll see. I think, and they're very nostalgic. These cute little colorful acrylic chains are very nostalgic, which is kind of the point of Timber Toe, is to have like a nostalgic item. So I think they fit with the brand perfectly well. Not for every single person, but so I was able to find those, which was fun.
Nice.
But it was a lot. It was overwhelming.
Yeah. I want to switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
I had this story about I wanted to share this with you about my kids. Mm-hmm. That is happening in my personal life that I thought you would find funny.
Okay.
So, so right now, your little guy, kindergarten.
Yes.
He's fully dependent. Not really helpful. He's more of a drain.
He's
on the system.
He's not a drain.
On the system. He's a beautiful and he's hilarious. He's like my little buddy, right? I make him belt buckles.
He's
like,
incredibly
he's
dependent.
He's my guy, but he's dependent on the system.
Yeah. Okay.
Yesterday. So in the workshop, I upgraded one of my machines that produces an incredible amount of wood chips when I throw the thing in there. And my dust collection system can't keep up. It's trying, but I'm like, oh, this thing's struggling. So I did some search, found this system used, and it is like twice the size, and it sounds like a jet engine when it turns on. So I'm like, oh, this is great. So I bought it from a guy down the street. I get it home, and this thing weighs not a ton, but it weighs a lot.
Right. More than just you can handle by yourself.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's awkward, right?
Yeah.
So I get it inside the shop, and I've got my trailer, right? And I'm getting in here. And so I wanted to share this with you. So I'm like, hey, Avery, I need some help. Avery's 19. He comes into the shop and him and I have to maneuver this dust collection machine that's like probably 80 to 100 pounds up a ladder, like 8 feet in the air, and then has to rotate over and get dropped down into this cone. And I am telling you, it worked.
I'm already like.
Yeah. So we had the ladder and we went up this thing. But here's what. And so we're up there and I'm struggling. Like, I'm not the biggest dude in the world, but I've got like old man strength.
Well, I mean, I feel like you have a lot of upper body strength what you do.
I've got some great old man strength. Have you ever
Know what that means.
Shake your dad's hand next time. Your dad, not a bodybuilder, right?
Uh-huh.
You're going to be like, Dad, you have an incredible strength. It's called old man strength. It's like when guys get old, they just end up with this like
weird strength.
Strength that is like, okay. Where did you don't ever work out. I know, but it's just because I'm older and it's like the world has just made me strong. Okay. So anyway,
the world has made me strong.
I don't know. So I'm lifting this sucker up and I'm like, oh man,
it's all that picking yourself up by your bootstraps.
Must be right. You know, I'm lifting the sucker up. He's 19, right? Mm-hmm. Lifting up on this side and we're trying to get it between like the garage door and the wall. And I've got like 3 feet and this thing is like 30 inches. We're getting it up, move it over, nailed it.
Oh.
And I want you to know, I was like, oh, this would be great for the podcast to tell you what you have to look forward to.
Yeah.
Because I am now in a point, we're talking about different points in lives. Avery and Blake are both stronger than Marielle.
Oh.
So
you can use
that. Whenever I have to move a couch.
Right.
Need to move my dust collection system or have something huge. I'm like, Marielle, step aside.
Marielle,
boys.
Marielle can sit pretty like she deserves to.
Yeah. And these boys come over here and Blake wasn't even there and Avery and we got this thing done. Didn't drop it. And it was starting to set up like I should put this on video because it was one of those like probably could ladder could slip out and things could get really squirrely here for a moment. But no, with his strength and everything, we were able to get it. So
this is so funny because
this is something you can look forward to for like 12 years.
You're talking about how like you've now realized that your kids are strong enough to physically help you do things, right?
Yeah. They are not a drain on the system. They're helpful.
Jameson is like, he goes through these like spurts of like independence where he wants to do everything himself. Right. Which, and they ebb and wane, you know,
ebbs and flows.
Yeah. And so, right now he's in a spurt where he wants to do things all by himself. So that's he wants to do the dishes. So I'm like trying to teach him how to do the dishes.
Okay.
This morning he asked me, he said, I want to start bringing you coffee in the morning. I was like, that sounds great, kid. So he asked me how to make coffee. And so I explained it to him on the way to school. And then, so I told you about the lizard that was in my house.
Oh my God. The dinosaur?
Yes, the dinosaur. So this thing was at least a foot long. Got in my house. I don't know how long it's been in my house, but Scarlett found it. It emerged in front of Scarlett and she called me near tears, freaking out to where then we had to switch places. Scarlett had to go to the store and I had to go home to try to handle the lizard that she trapped under a box.
The T-Rex.
The freaking ankylosaurus. So we switched places. My brave bestie Scarlett, she put the box over it, right? She handled that part and she put the weights on it and she trapped it.
That's a good first step.
Yeah.
For sure.
She trapped it. So, we switch. She comes back to the store to watch the store and I go home to try to handle it. Uh-huh. And so I was going to try to push it out. There's no way I could do that. I psyched myself up. Normally I could handle critters. But this one was big. It was big.
Right.
I couldn't handle it. So I ended up having to have maintenance come and get it out. And so maintenance comes and get it out. So Jameson loves lizards. He wants one. I do not want one.
Yeah.
He wants he keeps asking for a lizard. He wants one as a pet. So I thought he would enjoy
it. Knocking?
I thought he would enjoy the story of the lizard having been in our room the whole time. And so I tell him about the lizard. There was a couple pictures on my phone. I'm showing him. And so I was talking about how I had to have the maintenance guy come and help. And he knows who the maintenance guy is. Like, we're very familiar with everyone that works at the complex that we live in. And so he goes, I could have helped you. I was like, well, Bubba, you weren't home and I didn't want to have to pull you out of school just to save me. And he's like, no, you could have called the school and I would have told my friends and I would have walked home and I would have helped you get it out. And I was like, well, I'll tell you what, next time there's a lizard in the house, you can be the hero and I'll have you get it out. I know, he's so cute.
Listen, Jameson, you're going to listen to this podcast like 10 years from now. He is going to be
a looker.
I know. He's so cute.
Because he's got that kind of like olive skin.
Yeah.
He's going to be sharp looking. Yeah. And he's got a heart of gold.
I know. He's so sweet.
Oh, my gosh.
He just wants to help people. He really does. Like, he really, he can be a little...
Well, sassy, but
he's also mine.
Eventually, so like, he's going to get stronger than you, so he's going to become helpful. I'm just telling you. Yeah. That's what you got to look forward to.
Yeah, except no matter how big he gets, I'll still take him out.
100%. But there's some, like, logistic stuff that he'll actually become helpful. Yeah. Like, he'll be able to help clean the house. Like,
He wants this toy. This toy is, like, $50.
Yes.
And I'm not just going to... buy him a $50 toy. Like, I will admit, I 100% spoil this kid. Like, I will give him the world on a silver platter if I could. And I have no regrets or no shame in admitting that I 100% spoil my child. However, a $50 Transformer toy is quite a lot.
Yeah.
But he's been asking for it consistently for a couple of weeks now. And so I'm like, okay, I'll tell you what. You can earn $50. Let's earn $50.
Fair enough.
So I've been having him do stuff. He's earned, I can't math it. He has $18 to go. $32.
$32 he's earned
$32. And so we have a little chart.
I deal with the finance side of this business. Yeah. So
he, I clearly don't. So he's got this little chart where he checks, I've got 50 coins.
Okay.
And so he's Xing out each coin as he earns the money.
This is great.
And so he's got $18 to go. And he's all mad because the toy was $40. And it's raised in price to $50.
That's called inflation.
Yeah, so
buddy.
He's pretty mad. He goes, it's not fair. It was $40. And I was like, I know, bud, but you know what? Apples were 50 cents. And now they're $1.50. So, like, we're both feeling it, kid. Yeah.
That's good. I'm telling you, like, on the financial planning side that I deal with, integrating kids with things like that, just understanding money's, how money works or how you have to earn, that becomes so valuable in the long run.
And I think that having him earn his money on, well, I mean, he really is earning it, but like, I don't mean to like put quotations about that, earn his money on paper versus handing him the money, I think helps too because it gives him a visual without giving him the actual thing.
The next step, actually, like, hand him maybe not money, but like physical things.
Yeah.
Because then he'll see them grow and then to see all of it wiped off because he's buying a toy, he'll be like, I worked hard to build up this pile just to see it go away.
Yeah.
That might frustrate him to the... Right. How things are expensive, as opposed to just saying, it's like, oh, if I have checks, I've got money in the bank. It's like, it doesn't really work that way, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree that probably is the next step. I don't know if he's old enough to really understand that concept yet, but
he's still young, but that's kind of the next step.
I think object permanence is pretty new.
Yeah.
He's like a year into that concept.
So really, what else? I mean, the biggest thing I think is that we got accepted to be part of an art exhibition Echoes of Innovation.
I'm actually so excited about this.
Yeah, so how this started for the listeners is, I mean, honestly, how it started was Scarlett got an email that was just, I don't even know where she got the email. Go ahead, you got
it. We have to bring Scarlett on eventually so that
people know, have a name to a face.
Yes.
They're like this make-believe Scarlett.
We keep talking about Scarlett. And they're like, does this person even exist? Yes, she exists. She's absolute perfection. She's a sweet baby angel.
She is perfect in Scarlett fashion. Like how we describe her.
You see me and Scarlett together and the first thought is, oh God, there's two of them. But then also between your dad jokes and her pickup lines.
And she'll be over there. So it'll be like two against one.
Yeah. Well, okay. But literally I had that thought too of like, cause you come at me with the dad jokes and then she was coming at me with the cheesy pickup lines. And I was like, oh my God, there's two of them. Like it could literally go any direction.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
So Scarlett gets this email.
Yeah.
And it's from Southern Arizona Art Coalition Association or something like that. And she forwards it to me and she was like, hey, is this something that Timbertote might be a part of? And what it is it's, never heard of this before, but there's a company in town called the Rocher, like institution of histology.
Yes.
And what they were partnering with this art council.
So what is histology?
Well, let me lead up to that.
Okay.
So, but the premise was that they wanted to have like an exhibition of wearable art that was inspired by histology.
Which is such a thing. I didn't realize how much of a thing it was until
getting into this. So Scarlett sends it to us, and I'm like, wearable art? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of like Timbertoad is so, we have such a breadth of capabilities. Mm-hmm. I was like, sounds good. So have no idea what histology is. So I'm not the designer. So of course I bumped this to you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, and you can know you make some Timbertoads with histology?
Yeah. And you know, I love a project where I have to research. I 100%. Love it.
Yeah. So, now the question is, what is histology? Yeah.
Okay. So histology is the process of dyeing live tissue
yes.
in order to identify bacteria, diseases, fungal infections, that kind of stuff. So it's a little morbid because it's animal or human tissue that is being dyed in order to diagnose disease.
Yeah. Like cancers.
Or rule disease out. So it's kind of, it's wild.
Yeah.
But it is so aesthetic.
At a microscopic level, yes, though,
at
right?
a microscopic
but
level.
But the dyeing that they use, as we started to look, are these vibrant colors.
No, they're absolutely, that's the whole point, is they are so gorgeous and aesthetic. And I think what my favorite part about it was in researching what it was and learning about it, one of the things that always fascinated me when I was in college and learning about color theory and like just design theory in general, art history, how much nature just dictates art in general. And art genuinely imitates life. And art is so natural in every single aspect that we take so much advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And you don't see it on the scale that we should be seeing it. And so in researching this and learning about this and the natural way our cells represent themselves and the dyes that they're using, they're not doing it to create art, but it is creating art. And it's like natural. Yeah. It's nature.
Yeah.
It's nature at its most morbid. Yeah. It's because some of these diseases are really aggressive.
Yeah.
But it's also nature.
It's science, you know, so I think it's all done for a positive purpose.
Correct. Yeah. And so what was really cool was there was one where it was using breast tissue to try to identify cancer in breast tissue. And I found a sample that was negative for cancer, which was nice, but it was all pink, which I loved. Like they used pink dye to find breast cancer. Yeah. And like, I know that that's making light of such a serious thing, but it was just, I don't know. It was cool.
Yeah.
It's such a cool concept.
So we submitted three different variations.
Yes.
But we really went with, not only were you able to find these different ones with, I think, significantly different coloring as the liner. So we printed that out on the printer. Mm-hmm. But then we used it with some of the wood veneers that really complemented those. But we had three different styles.
Yes.
But all three were selected.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they didn't have to select all three. Which
yeah. So as of this point of recording, we don't know where we placed, but we were accepted in to be part of the exhibit.
Part of it. Yes.
So it'll run all the way through the end of the year.
Yeah.
So it'll be there. So, so we'll find out if there was any placements, because they actually will have a judging and some placements.
We went to drop it off today and these submissions are gorgeous. Like there's some really pretty things and it's so cool seeing how people can translate this particular topic into art and into something wearable, into fashion. There's going to be a fashion show. There's going to be, it's really cool. It's really, really neat. And in researching this and, you know, trying to find which patterns we wanted, I learned that there is an entire market of artwork based on this particular scientific practice. It's insane. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like who would have thought?
Yeah.
Anyway, not to be crass, but like there's some that are like literally like rat colon.
Okay.
Well, it's like a colon, okay. But it's like a whole rainbow and it's really pretty.
It's really pretty. Well, there you go.
And at people have it like level. On a canvas and framed. Like it's crazy. Like to know what the tissue's coming from.
Yeah.
And then
very cool.
So anyway, we're doing that.
I think there's a lot going on, but just for the sake of the podcast, like we can't even, it's sometimes it's even hard, difficult to really talk about everything, you know?
Yeah.
So, cause Botanical Gardens,
yeah,
that's going to be coming out.
The Frida.
October 1st. We're going to be inside of the campus store on the U of A campus, the bookstore. They placed their order.
Yeah. We've been working on that for a year.
A year. Yeah.
A year. Yeah. And now it's finally coming to fruition.
It was just, it's one of these things I know that when we were working with a big corporation, there has been committee after person after person. And, you know, it's just, it is what it is, but we've worked our way through it and like we'll be on campus. That's cool.
I think with this process with the U of A, we've learned a lot because I know we're trying to expand into other colleges. Mm-hmm. And so I think this last year of just working with the U of A alone has given us a lot of insight to what to expect from other colleges.
Yeah.
And also what to ask for.
Also, I think we went a little bit overboard with the U of A one just because it's hometown.
Right.
You know, so, but that helped us so that we can pull it back a little bit when we're applying with the University of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Like we're doing.
Yeah. So, that's
a lot
one.
Going on.
Botanical Gardens, like that one's a lot of fun. They've got a whole Frida Kahlo exhibit coming up. And so we've got some purses that are, specific to that, and they went pretty gung-ho in that, so that's really exciting.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, we could talk.
I mean
there's
so
much going on, so we'll just push stuff off to the next
it's
one,
really but. It's a little overwhelming, but it is what it is.
All right.
So in other words, I am being forced to make a lot of decisions all by myself.
Yeah, I'm like,
I'm learning that skill real quick.
All right.
Okay, So
here comes the segment.
Here's my little
thing. All right, so our segment is called...
Surprise!
Surprise! And so this was one of those things where I have no idea what you're bringing.
Yeah.
And
the first thing I want to give...
I can't say no.
I want to give a quick little shout out to Allie because she brought me this shirt yesterday.
Yesterday?
And I feel like it's fit perfectly with today's episode.
It's a witch. Oh my God.
So she brought it to me because she said she got it and it made her think of me.
Yes.
Because she kind of looks like me with the septum piercing and a little witch
totally.
Hat.
Oh my God.
So Allie, shout out Allie Hunt. Featherbed.
Yep.
The Featherbed Airbnb. Or
rather
the
be glamping.
Yeah, rather be glamping. Oh, if you need to go glamping or if you're ever in Clear Lake, which is Northern California.
That was on our first one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so.
All right.
Okay, so. In the spirit of me dressing up as a witch.
Oh boy. I have no idea what we're doing here.
So I'm going to read your cards.
What kind of cards?
So this is not a full tarot deck. It is tarot inspired.
Tarot cards. Oh boy. Okay. Okay.
So this is extra fun because you come from a different background.
Yeah. So I have a question.
And lifestyle than me.
Yeah. So my question is, is this one of those deals where you have to believe in what's happening in order for it to work?
Here's the thing.
It's kind of like the hypnotist. Like,
yeah.
If you're so skeptical, I feel like it's not going to work. You kind of have to buy in a little bit.
Well, I don't know. Here's the thing. So with the cards, I think people take it a little too literally.
Okay.
And I think they put too much stock in it.
That's all right.
Now, as someone who is like I am a little woo-woo, you know?
woo-woo?
Yeah. And the reason I picked this for this is because we're talking about like making decisions and you know, having guidance and seeking extra help, being okay with seeking extra help.
Yeah.
These things are not going to tell your future. You are not going to have your future told by these things.
I was hoping it would.
What it is nice for is it's cheaper than therapy.
Okay.
It's going to tell you what you already know.
Cheaper than therapy.
That's it's going to tell you what you already know and maybe don't want to admit to yourself.
Okay.
It might, if you want to rely on it, it might give you just a little bit of insight, a little bit of clarity, because sometimes it helps to hear it from somebody else.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Let's go.
Now, the people who...
Do I need Voldemort's
wand if you want it.
Okay. To give me something good.
So, the people who, rely on them probably need therapy, if I'm completely honest. But,
so, there's a difference between someone who's therapized.
Isn't that the word? I think it's fun.
Jump into this.
I collect decks.
Okay.
Oh,
there's more than one?
Oh, I probably have
This is all new to me.
Nine okay. or 10 decks.
That's all right. That's the prayers
this,
we're
this
working
one
in.
Is my first deck I ever got. This is not a full tarot deck, but it is tarot inspired. It's okay. an oracle deck, which is a little bit different. It's less. It's only 36 different cards, and they'll have similar symbols as a tarot deck, but not quite a full
Let
thing.
A rip, potato chip.
Do you want to cut it?
You tell me what. When, you make
it's
the
what,
decision.
It's what you're comfortable with. Here's the thing. Okay. This reading I'll is cut. For you.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's I get, so you need me. To decide how much of your own energy you want to put into it. So you can you can cut the deck.
Sure. Like okay. I'm all in.
So
like oh. I'm not. Oh my God! You can't get.
Hang on. What is it? What is it? I'm so curious.
You still
Ooh,
have
it's a man.
You still. Jesus.
It's confirming. You've it's had, like, confirming this reading's for you.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. All right.
All right. Yes. Okay. Let's go. I'm always, right. I'm a cut guy because I'm
cut
I'm
it.
Super skeptical.
You
so.
Cut it.
There you go.
Oh.
I always do weird cuts.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's I fine. Always do weird ones because people always
now,
expect you to split it. In
do
the
you
want
to pick your own cards or
yes.
do you trust me to pick them?
I'm going to pick them.
Okay. All right. You can hold the deck. You can pick whatever cards you want.
And what do I do?
Just pull them out.
Pull
three. I'm sorry.
Okay. So.
Three.
Do I put them here?
You can flip them. Yeah.
And there. I'm going to do this one.
Okay.
And let's do this one here.
Okay. Ooh, I'm excited.
What about these ones?
Can just I, leave them.
Okay, just discard them, sort of.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, we got the anchor.
Oh, boy.
An we got anchor? The mountain. And we got the garden.
That's not an iceberg?
It's iceberg mountain, whatever.
Okay, so anchor. So let's do it this way.
Yeah.
So we got the
so
anchor.
I'm using Titania's fortune cards. These are an oracle deck from 2021.
Okay.
I think is the
so
edition.
All right, so now that the crap...
Audience has seen it. No. Okay. Talk
so,
to me.
This is actually a really fun reading.
Okay.
So individually.
Well, I'm glad this is entertaining for you yeah. because I'm sitting here thinking like, you're going to tell me like
so
my world's about ready to explode.
No,
or something.
This is actually kind of good. So in tarot. Kind of
good?
In tarot. Good. Well, because I mean, there's a little bit of an obstacle, but
oh,
it's fine.
Oh boy.
It's going to be fine.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay. So in tarot, the direction of the card matters.
Okay.
In this, it doesn't.
Okay.
So we're just going to go with it.
Okay.
The garden represents social, outgoing, what's the opposite of introvert? Extrovert. Extroverted energy, a party, an uh-huh. event, that uh-huh. kind of thing, individually, okay? Yeah. The mountain.
Like party for sure.
The mountain represents immobility. Immobility. Structure.
Mm.
Strong foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It can also represent, depending on what's around it, it can also represent having to overcome an obstacle, maybe a little bit of hardship. However, it's worth the effort,
oh,
right?
Okay.
And then on its own, the anchor is exactly what it is. It's an anchor. It's like setting roots. It's this
solid
is it.
Foundation,
yes.
Sort of.
Yes. Okay. Solidarity. This is it. This is where you're supposed to be, kind of thing. Like you're setting anchor, right? So
oh
together, there's a lot of like really good energy around it, and kind of just. Confirming being on the right path, having a solid foundation put in place to where you can kind of rely on your own roots of your own personality, the roots of who you are as a person in order to overcome whatever obstacles might be ahead of you, and also feel confident in the foundation of that and know that you are on the right trajectory.
Oh, really?
Okay. And it's a very social trajectory. It's going to rely on your social abilities. It's going to rely on networking. It's going to rely on events and like a extroverted
okay.
element.
Sure.
It's actually kind of funny with this topic of like kind of relying on other people to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing those events that you attend or the people that you surround yourself with socially, professionally, that kind of thing, and being okay in allowing them to help you solidifying that foundation and building on top of it.
Okay.
Having those people around you and being okay with allowing those people to push you up if you're not feeling like you can by yourself.
Okay. Yeah.
And knowing okay. that the roots you have in place are exactly where they're supposed to be. So that's a very good reading. Mm. I love that.
Interesting.
And I love that it actually fit with the episode.
That worked out, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So if, pull one more.
Now I got to pull another one?
Pull one more just for confirmation.
For confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Am I supposed to shuffle it?
Confirmation/clarification.
So I watched this last time, like when you were doing the red flags game. Uh-huh. I'm always like trying to be like, what am I supposed to do? Like, how do I win? And I'm like, instead of just playing, I'm
you
always
don't
like,
win tarot.
Okay, am I supposed to like? Do I need to shuffle it now?
No, you can if you want.
Right, I know, but that's not my point.
Oh,
like my point is how competitive I am.
I know,
because I'm always like,
that should be.
I gotta win. So in order to win this,
you don't win this.
How do what? Am I supposed to shuffle it? Because you're tricking me. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm not tricking you.
No. It's not about you. It's about me.
You're trying to trick me.
No. I'm trying to win all the time. And that's not necessarily what's supposed to happen.
No, you don't.
All right.
Win tarot.
I know.
Ooh.
That looks phallic.
Wow. Well, this is Washington my Monument. Favorite card.
Okay.
This is my favorite card. Most people freak out when they see this card.
Okay. Oh, so should I be freaking out?
No.
Okay.
You should be freaking out in a good way.
Did I win?
No. Well, you're going to. So the Tower card freaks people out because depending on the deck, depending on the art or, you know, whatever, Tower can, it's kind of an ominous looking card. A lot of times the Tower is represented as a crumbling tower. It's falling. It's there's a storm cloud around it, or okay. It's dilapidated. It's usually leaning. Like if you see like this tower is not straight up and down, it's kind of leaning to the side.
Yeah.
The Tower is representative of change. It's representative of having a major decision to make and having to accept your reality and being okay with it in order to, it's kind of allowing things to crumble in order to rebuild.
Got it.
And so there's kind of accepting that. Things as they
there's
are.
There's some things going on like that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure there are. There always is.
Yeah.
So totally. Tower moments are major life events.
Decisions that need to be made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, major life events that are going to change the trajectory. Yeah, a little bit.
Bounce some of the
or just
off of.
Maybe you're a little overwhelmed with things, and you kind of just have to let things settle. Let it settle.
Mm.
Give it a minute. Fair let enough. It settle, and then build with what's left. You know what I mean? So interesting having a Tower moment. That just kind of means that there's a pretty epic opportunity for more.
Okay.
Something new.
Okay.
Something unexpected and something to build upon.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Well, there you go. That was my first ever.
Yay!
You pop my cherry on the tarot reading. We'll see if that makes it through on the edit.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, perfect.
So good time. Thanks for letting me read your cards.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, that was the rule about surprise. Yeah. You got to work within the parameters, but we can't say no.
Yeah.
But I have bought something and it's in the mail.
Yeah.
So just you wait.
Oh, God.
You can't say no.
He's going to get me back.
Yeah, right. Nice. Well, anything else that we want to add?
I don't know. Just, I don't know. Okay. Let people help you. I don't know. Yeah. You're not in this alone.
I think that's kind of the idea,
we're
too.
We're all in this.
But even we talk about that, that this is a podcast where we want to share a little bit of how we're growing. We're kind of journaling ours, but we know that we're not alone on this world.
Yeah.
You know, so if you go to our website, thezerodaysense.com, there's that spot you can read about the podcast. But at the bottom, we've actually got this spot where people can actually comment or tell stories about their 0 days since story.
So if you have a story that you want to share, last episode we shared a listener story that was really fun. So if you have any that match any of the topics we've discussed already, or if you don't, just anything along your journey, and then, you know, we'll fit it in somewhere.
Sure.
So that's fun.
Perfect.
And you could follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, totally.
Is that part of your spiel that's about to come
it's
up?
It's on the teleprompter.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll let you do the teleprompter. I'm not done with my drink yet.
I know, right? I know. You were into it today. You got the witches thing.
I was yapping.
I got to tell you, too, like, just as a comment, when we were talking about dressing up for Halloween, I was like, oh, I'm going to be the lumberjack. So I'm like, I am growing out this beard, and it has become so annoying. I literally have a haircut, like,
tomorrow.
And they're trimming the beard. Yeah. They're trimming the hair. Because, look, like, I can... Yeah. Do this, and I'm just
you know,
like,
I used to go all out for Halloween. we used to throw this Halloween party every year, and it was like the party to go to. And I used to go all out for Halloween. And I'm not gonna lie to you, since having a kid, like for myself,
yeah,
I'm a second thought when it comes to Halloween. And my kid, like,
100%.
This year though,
it'll change too. Let me tell you this. So, because you're right on track, and this will be your rhythm for probably, you know, 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
And then what'll happen is he'll start to get friends. And they'll like all want to do their thing together, but they live in like different neighborhoods or something. And now, so then I started the tradition of like coming out there and I have my, inside my like courtyard, I have my own like little fire pit. And so now it, but the boys, they're gone.
Gone.
Bye. They drive themselves to their buddies. Sure. Yeah. And so now it's like, what are we doing at our house?
Well, and then like when I lived in LA, Halloween was all month long. There was 2 or 3 parties every single weekend for the month of October, and you couldn't wear the same costume twice. So I had costumes for the whole month, and I got so into it. It was so much fun. And then even coming back to Arizona, like I used to rave, so we would go to Halloween raves, and I had different costumes for those. And I remember there was 1 year when I made myself a mermaid costume.
Okay.
And I made it from scratch like 3 days before our party that we were having. And that previous summer, my birthday is in June. So that previous summer, my favorite DJ of all time, Tommy Trash, was playing in Scottsdale. So for my birthday, we went and saw him. And then I got him to take a picture with me. And I think he signed something. I don't remember. But then a week later, he was in Florida where my friend AJ lived. And AJ got to meet him. And he goes, hey, you just met my friend Chelsea. And Tommy remembered me and sent me a video saying, oh, I love you. It was the best moment of my life. And then months later in October, I'm making my Halloween costume and I posted a picture of it, like not on me because it was a mermaid costume, but I posted just a picture of the costume that I had whipped together in like a day, and Tommy Trash liked it. Oh, and boy. I was like, my life is made. So
Tommy Trash.
I haven't made a costume since.
Oh, really?
No. Now that I think about it, I don't think I've made a Halloween costume since.
Yeah. Well, and now that Jameson's along, he gets the priority. And then you come up like once he's off and running, then you might then be able to come on back.
This year he wants to coordinate though. This year he's really into this Italian brain rot characters. I don't totally know what it is.
Yeah, neither do I.
But there's, he wants to be a Cappuccino Assassino, which is an assassin. That's a coffee cup.
Oh, wow.
who has his little girlfriend who's Ballerina Cappuccina. So he wants me to be Ballerina Cappuccina. He wants to be Cappuccino Assassino. And so he thinks that would be fun because he knows how much I love coffee. So he thought those would be fun. He's so cute. He's like, you like coffee. You could be Ballerina Cappuccino.
There you go. That's cute.
So that's cute. Last year I was last minute. I wasn't planning on dressing up. I have a hockey jersey that's Jason Voorhees themed.
Okay.
So I normally wear that and take him trick-or-treating, and then I have my Jason mask, and then and then he's whatever he is. So I've worn that probably 3 years in a row. And or I'm a witch. Because I have a lot of black clothing. So last year, last minute, I threw together, it was all white.
Yeah.
And then I put a green ribbon around my neck. Nobody knew who I was.
Oh.
Do you know who I was?
No. Are you gonna tell us?
It was the girl with the green ribbon around her neck.
Oh boy.
It's a book from it's like part, it's a short story in a collection of short stories. I remember reading it in first grade and it was no first grader should have read this book. But the whole thing is like they grow up together, the boy and the girl, they grow up together, and she's always got this green ribbon around her neck.
Okay.
And he's always like, "What is the ribbon?" And she's like, "I'll tell you later." And then finally they're old. They've gotten married. They're old. She's on her deathbed. And he's like, "Can you finally tell me what the green ribbon is?" And she's like, "Yeah, go ahead and untie it." And he unties it, and then her head falls off. I read that at 6 years old. Yeah. So I dressed up as that. And I walk up to the house that my aunt and uncle's house.
That's actually good if you know
it. If you know what it is. Yeah. So I walk up not saying a word. And I walk up to my aunt and uncle's house. My sister's already there. I walk up and she goes, "You're terrible."
That's classic. I love it.
She goes, "That's traumatizing." And I was like, "Yeah, exactly." You only get it perfect. If you're traumatized.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Anyway, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
All right. Well, that does it for this episode, I think. I want to thank, you know, myself, Sport Class Custom, for being the drink sponsor.
I want to thank me for me. What's it's that? A, is it, is it's that like, Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, I know. It's such like a self-plug or whatever. But for smoking the cocktails, it adds a little extra flavor for it. Yeah. But if you enjoyed the podcast, you know, if you guys subscribe on the YouTube, you know, hit the like button. That really does help us kind of grow the channel as well. So stay tuned for our next episode. It's going to be 0 days since we were in the press.
Oh,
so it's going to be fun. Some fun, I think, stories about us getting out there.
Yeah.
And just some other perspectives, you know.
Using that network that we've built.
Yeah, totally. Well, we'd also love to hear from you guys as well. So, you know, shoot us little comments or go on to that website. Tell us about your 0 days since story. You can follow us on Instagram as well. But we're 0 days since pretending to be professionals. And we'll see you on the next one.
Cheers. Bye.